Hey, welcome to the Intentional Living Center. Today, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, and we're talking sibling rivalry. Now, when you think of sibling rivalry, you probably think of just the little kids, you know, and the fighting over toys or fighting over what seat they're going to get in the car or, you know, who gets to pick what they're going to have for dinner. But sometimes it's adults, right? The big people have sibling rivalry as well. So we're going to touch on this topic, see if we can unpack some things at work to help you be intentional with sibling rivalry from the Intentional Living Center.
From the studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a best-selling author and your advocate for the family. Call now, 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you be intentional for your family, here's Randy.
Okay, thank you, Kurt. Welcome to our Intentional Living today. And sibling rivalry has always been in the top five issues that we've gotten from parents. In fact, sometimes been number one on the list when we do surveys. If you have little kids, when they fight. Now, some of you are thinking, my goodness, I never saw that. We didn't have that, or we don't have that. Must be that we're great parents. Could be, but sometimes it's the difference in ages. You know, the closer the kids are, different sexes. Personalities, lots of things. How powerful are the parents? What's going on in the environment in the home? A lot of factors that can fit into it. But if you've raised your kids and you had zero sibling rivalry, you can sit back today and say, wow, you know, I'm just going to listen in and say, thank you, Lord, that we didn't face that. But maybe like Kate, Kay's on the line from Arizona. Kate, you say here that you never saw that when you were a kid, but now you have it as an adult?
With our kids, we don't face that. But when I was a kid, my parents were pretty uninvolved, and so we had a lot of that. And now I see it as adults between me and my sister.
So you didn't get along, or you did get along when you were kids?
Didn't. You didn't. We didn't get along.
And no one helped you to work it out. You just kind of went to your own corners.
Yeah, and my parents weren't believers. They basically had expectations that my sister was responsible for me, my older sister. And so she would get in trouble when I would get in trouble. Stuff like that. So, you know, she resented that. And so it led to a lot of control and berating, rage, judgment.
Between the two of you?
More on her side, because she was getting blamed for things that I shouldn't have done. And she was responsible for me because they were so uninvolved.
And she's older than.
Kind of like a surrogate. Yeah, she was like a surrogate parent in a sense. And so then.
So she's resentful to have to raise you, basically, because mom and dad didn't do the job.
Right.
And how much older did you say she is?
Two years older.
Have you been able to talk to her about this now that you're adults?
Well, we've come to Christ when we were in our late teens. And then, but I feel like the same. I'd never thought that what we struggle with now is just basically sibling rivalry that wasn't dealt with ever.
Yeah.
And so now, like, the stakes are higher. It's not about who got that toy. It's about my dad's will.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
About power of attorney. He's, like, in a vegetative state, nearly. And so then it's like she says stuff like, you weren't around, which we were overseas as missionaries. I couldn't help, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, well, you snooze, you lose. And so you don't have any say in what dad gets in terms of his care and stuff like that. And it's like, what? But I see it's this power thing, and
it's anger, isn't it?
So, yeah, resentment still, and so the Lord said to me, "Don't fight for it.
Yeah.
Don't. Yes, you have the right to have say in Dad's care, but not so much the will. It's the power of attorney. I don't care about the money or the will or anything. But he's basically said, okay, don't fight. She wants to get in the boxing ring because we've always gotten into the boxing ring, and I've now since learned that Christ doesn't want me to do that, you know?
No, and good for you.
And so if she doesn't want to walk in the Spirit with me and try to resolve this in a way that's godly, you know, we do have problems that we need to resolve, and she feels justified to yell and to berate and to belittle and accuse, and I don't want to do that anymore like we did as kids.
Well, I think a couple things, Kay, observations.
Yeah.
One is, when you're in the middle of the hot water, like right now with Dad and his deteriorating health and so on, it's probably not the best time to make up. You know, in other words, as I've said, hot water tends to bring out whatever the contents are in the tea bag, and whatever's in the bag comes out with the heat. cold water, not so much, hot water, yes. And so your older sister, if she's resentful, feeling like she was responsible, she's probably just, you know, angry at a lot of things, and you're getting some of the download of that. And it sounds like you're taking a very high road approach, taking a very Christian approach. And I would applaud that. I think the only time I would disagree with you on that would be is if your sister is actually doing something that you think is not, you know, going to be harmful for Dad or not right.
I don't think so. Yeah. I think she loves Dad, and she just doesn't want me to have any power or control or influence legally.
Then, you know, you're looking in and observing. That's a very mature thing to do. But I would say down the road, maybe when things settle down and past this season, man, it would be such a wonderful thing to be able to go to her and just say, you know, I can understand why you'd be angry. I can understand that. I can understand why some of these issues. Talk to me about how you feel and where it came from. And if you can listen and just let her download how she's feeling, it may or may not help. But what I hear in your heart is you'd like to have some restoration in the relationship at some point. And I think that's an admirable thing. Life is so short.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. And as we get older and you look and say, man, the stuff we fight over and argue about doesn't matter, the stuff, the junk. And we find with people that we work with that after mom and dad are gone, many times that becomes the issue because there's the junk that has to be processed. And all the people fight over knickknacks.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
because it's the deeper issue.
Exactly. Who cares about the knickknack?
Yeah.
Right. That's not the issue. It's the issue that never got resolved years earlier.
Yeah.
So how did you get to be mature toward this? I mean, without overreacting.
Oh, I've overreacted many times. And it was the most recent time about a year ago when she was just downloading all her anger and hate to me. And I sought the Lord and I said, what do I do? I don't want to do this fighting thing. And he said, she's not your judge. She's not your parent. Oh, because she's always been kind of my surrogate parent. And so then he said, I was just listening to him. He was just speaking to me and told me, it's okay. You can just let go because what she says doesn't define you. And so then I don't need to get back in the ring for my sake, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I felt like he said, just let go. Don't fight because it doesn't matter.
Mm.
And so I was like, okay, I think I can.
You know, the Bible talks about those who seek peace win, and that's what you're doing, and that's good. That's a mature response. And I tell you, it's a message to parents with little kids. When you got young kids, if you don't help them deal with sibling rivalry in an effective way, because sometimes parents will say, we're not going to tolerate any disagreements in this home. There's no fighting in this home. We're this perfect family, and I won't tolerate it. And whenever you disagree, you're going to your rooms, I'm never going to let you work it out. Now, the intention's probably good, but the outcome not so much. Helping kids learn to work out their disagreements. That's why we talk at times about setting them down at the table or at a spot where you can watch and say, when you're done working that out, then you're happy to get on with your life. But you guys have to figure out how to work that out. And if you want to help them a little bit in the process, that's great. But we're not yelling, we're not hitting, but I'll help you through the process. But at the end of the day, you guys have to learn how to work out these disagreements, because if you don't, we're going to have a problem. All right, Kay, appreciate your call. You're welcome to give us a call and join us. We're talking about what it means, sibling rivalry, what it does to families and with kids, and we'd love to have you join in with your comment. All you have to do is give us a call at 888-888-1717 and press number 2 for our comment line. Debbie's on the line. Debbie, welcome to the program.
Hi, Randy.
Appreciate your call.
Hey, listen, I had talked to you many years ago. Let me see. My son is going to be 28, so it was like probably 15 years ago I had talked to you guys.
Uh-huh.
No, even more than that, 25.
Okay.
He was like 3 at the time. So
that's when I was about 10.
Whining. It was for his whining, and you had given me the suggestion, like you said, don't give in to it and don't reward the bad behavior by acknowledging the bad behavior, so to speak. And so what I had done, like you guys had suggested, I didn't ignore it. I just went and told him, somebody must be whining because my ears just turned off. I cannot talk to somebody if I can't hear them with my ears turned off. And he would go, Mom, he'd be whining. Mom, Mom. I go, John, can you hear that? I can't hear nothing. My ears just turned off. And my son would go, Mom, I would like to talk to you. So it was like totally made him think about how he was acting. And if he wanted me to respond, he needed to stop acting that way. And it was the same thing for the bickering. I would hear them bickering. And I'd go, somebody's trying to get my attention, but I can't tell because I can't hear. My ears have turned off. Is there two people arguing or something? Are they arguing about something they could settle on their own without me losing my hearing again? And they would kind of chuckle and go, yes, Mom, okay, Mom, we're not bickering. We'll talk about it. So it just, you guys gave me this suggestion many years ago, and it really worked with his whining.
And listen, he's 28, and he doesn't whine now, does he?
No. But he does still have to have the last word.
Listen, Debbie, I tell you, we're chuckling now, but the mom, like when you were in the middle of it, and Mom's in the middle of it, and Dad's in the middle of it, we think we have to jump in, we have to overdo, we have to fix it, and not tolerate it. And Debbie just gave you one suggestion. The principle is don't get sucked in to the power play where your kids are trying to force you to pay attention to them. And if you can have fun with it, humor, that's what Debbie was doing. I can't hear you. You know, I can't hear you. Sometimes just having some fun and ways of not getting sucked into it help the kids realize they're not getting the kind of attention that they want. And then they do get the kind of attention they want when they're cooperative. That's what we're really trying to do, get our kids to be cooperative, okay? All right, we're talking about intentional living for sibling rivalry in the home. And again, your comments are always welcome here. Join us on Facebook where the discussion's going on at theintentionallife.com.
Hey, did you know you're part of the family? Yeah, you. That's why you're listening right now. And here's a way you can really feel the familyness. Join Intentional Living on Facebook at facebook.com/intentionalliving. Just click like and instantly you'll have more than 100,000 other family members, including Dr. Randy, ready to encourage you in your intentional life. You never know. God might use you to encourage someone else. So come on in. That's Intentional Living on Facebook at facebook.com/intentionalliving.
The Intentional Living Washington, D.C. tour is a vacation and a faith-building experience all in one. You and your family will come face-to-face with God's Word through the all-new Bible Museum.
Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson.
And I'm Peter Brooks.
We're looking forward to exploring America's spiritual heritage and hear the true, powerful stories behind the iconic monuments and museums of Washington, D.C., with you and your family.
Just imagine experiencing an entire museum dedicated to the Bible. Everything's planned out, so all you have to do is register.
And you can do that right now at theintentionallife.com/Washington. That's theintentionallife.com/Washington. Once you're registered, the only thing left to do is get all excited about vacationing together as we experience Washington, D.C., October 10th through 16th.
And, you know, this is the time to go ahead and get your spot for this very special week. As you've heard, and all the information is available online, we're going to be touring the White House, the Capitol building, some of the major monuments in Washington, D.C., George Washington's home. We're going to be at the Museum of the Bible. We're going to be teaching. We're going to be praying together. We're going to be going to the biblical heritage of our nation. It's really going to be a fantastic week, very unique trip, and we'd love to have you be a part of this tour. Coming, beautiful time, by the way. We picked October especially. Nice weather, and also just a few weeks before the election. So a real awareness and consciousness of praying for our nation. It'll be a special time. My wife Donna and I, and you heard Peter Brooks and others joining us, get the information at theintentionallife.com. Theintentionallife.com is location to get the information you need. Okay, Robert's on the line with me. Robert, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks.
What's your question?
So I was curious about, my wife was raised in, I believe, a non-spanking home anyhow, and then I was raised in a spanking home, and we're coming together, and she's a teacher, and she was taught at the Christian school that, you know, the love and logic approach, and so we have a blended family, my 12-year-old boy and myself, married up with her. And now we have a 2-year-old, and we have a young, beautiful little 1-month-old daughter. So, you know, as we go into this, you know, how do I, how do I take the alternative approach to a spanking mm-hmm. type of authority and switch to a love and logic approach where, you know, if the child's doing something or if the kid's getting into something that I think is dangerous, where I would spank them, mm-hmm. you know, and that's something that obviously causes the rift and causes the fight between us as parents.
Sure.
Is I parent one way and she parents the other.
Well, I think your question, Robert, is a good one. You got two issues going on. One is what's the appropriate response for parenting, and the other is being on the same page. And both of them are important. You and your wife need to be on the same page. And, of course, I would I have the bias very much toward you referred to love and logic, which is a curriculum. We talk about intentional parenting, which, again, is realizing that it's not the volume. It's not authoritarianism. It's not control. Those are not the things that God's called us to do. We've been called to train up our children in the way they should go and to discipline. Remember, the word discipline comes from the idea of discipleship, which is training. So, okay, back to what do you do? Some of the principles that we teach is using logical and natural consequences for behavior. And give you an example. If a child's not getting their homework done, they're doing poorly in school because they're not following through, yelling at them isn't going to help. But taking away something, in other words, hey, until your grades come up, you've lost your, you know, the access to your social media, if they're old enough to even have that, by the way, or other kinds of things. In other words, there's going to be a consequence which is logical to the misbehavior. If you're irresponsible and you're a teenager, you don't drive the car. That's a logical consequence. You don't yell at them. You just say, hey, if you can't be responsible in the way you talk to your mom, you can't be responsible in getting your homework done, and so on, what we're going to have to do is we're taking the car away until you can be responsible. And so it becomes a matter of a decision for you and your wife to say that we choose to use like the love and logic or intentional parenting, but at the end of the day, to say, hey, I'm not going to go in a direction just because I was raised in a certain way. A great book that you might want to get a hold of, Kevin Lehman and I did a conference just a few weeks ago where he talked about making children mine without losing yours, which is a very proactive, intentional approach to parenting, which is a great resource available. You can pick it up, I'm sure, on Amazon or at a bookstore. But again, getting on the same page and then just making a decision to use logical or natural consequences. All right. Oh, by the way, we do have Raising Responsible Adults here for parents with younger kids. This is a whole curriculum that we've put together, both a workbook and a book to help you be an intentional parent. We have a small group series on DVD that focuses on the parenting challenge. That's also available through our center here by going to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. All right. All right, let's go to Kirsten, who's wants to share with us. I think she has a comment on our storyline from Wisconsin. Kirsten?
Hi, my name is Kirsten. I'm a mom of four girls, the oldest being 8 years old. And then we decided to try IVF, and we got pregnant with twins. And then 15 months later, we had our last daughter, Anderson. So, the rivalry between the twins, they're two totally different personalities. Of course, then one likes to beat up on the younger one because I'm giving her attention. I'm trying to encourage them to use words and let me know when they need love. I do try to get the other three girls to work it out. But then when things just really don't really go the oldest way, then I feel bad because I keep thinking about, you know, I did this to her because she feels bad because she's the only biracial child in the family. She's the only adopted daughter. I start to feel bad, and I think I kind of cave in. And I just want to be able to have help, maybe having everybody feel loved in the house without me going crazy and feeling overwhelmed.
Well, Kirsten, listen. Every parent listening to you can hear in your voice this idea that you want everything fair, you want everybody to get along, you want everybody to love everybody. And while that's an admirable thing that you want as a parent, it isn't necessarily going to be what you get. And in fact, if we get too caught up in the idea of this fairness trap, and we want everybody to be you know, treated exactly the same, or we start feeling sorry for the one child that's not being treated fairly, both of those kids see and they use against you for lots of reasons. In fact, I think sometimes we make parenting too complex. These are your children God has given you. They come with different experiences. They got different intelligence. They got different interests, different genders, different approaches to life. And if you just simply say, my job is to know the uniqueness of my child, to love them for who they are, to help them become who God has intended them to become, to train up that child in the way they should go, knowing that when they get older, they won't depart from it, and not trying to make that child be like the next child. When we try to make them the same, what we do is we develop a competitive home, and competition in a family is a destructive force. I should be who I can be in my own home and just be myself. The more we celebrate the unique differences of each of our children, it takes us off the hook. Now, if you have one child that's abusing another or taking advantage of another or hitting another, then those things you have to step in and control. But as a parent, to allow your children to grow into who they are and their uniqueness in the family is really a very powerful thing. Okay, we have time for Teresa. I think we do. Teresa from Michigan. Let's check in with her, who left a comment on our storyline. Teresa?
Hi, Dr. Randy. This is Teresa. I'm calling about adult children rivalry. My parents passed away, and the estate was left in charge of one person, and they ended up mismanaging that. And the others ended up fighting about it, and now we don't have anybody that's getting along. I just want to point out that maybe when parents do put people in charge of their estate after they pass away and they want the children to be in charge, that they be very careful on their choosing and how they leave things not open-ended. Or, you know, if they put a couple people on there, or maybe even not even choose one of the children, but be very careful. And to the people that are actually the inheritance, you know, the children, adult children inheritance, I just ask that, you know, you would be very careful in how you treat the estate, you know, that your parents have left you. And be very careful to not point fingers and cause major problems, but yet still, you know, keep to whatever God wants you to do, no matter what the world says, because it can really tear you apart like it did our family.
Mm-hmm. And Teresa, you're speaking from experience, and those that are in the business of putting together wills and estates will often say, if the family can't cooperate, if not one member of the family that can run that, it's better to get someone from the outside so there's independence. But the other point that you make that's an excellent point, most people don't have an estate plan. They have not written down what their expectations are for even the simple things of where the stuff in their home, who it goes to. And one of the things I appreciated about my parents, when my dad passed away, as my mom got closer to the end of her life, She wrote us a letter, the three boys, and she said, boys, I don't want you fighting over anything. Of course, well, she got knickknacks, you know, but I don't want you fighting over anything. But you know what? People fight over knickknacks and stuff like that. And so she said, hey, you guys come in here. Is there anything in this house you want? You tell me what it is. And she put tags on it. So like we said, hey, that's something I'd like to have, or that's something. So she had it all tagged. So she knew when she go to heaven, we're going to come, we turn that thing over, and it says, this is for you, Larry. Randy, keep your hands off of it, you know. She didn't say that, but she had everything tagged, and the rest of the stuff was just unimportant things. I think getting down to that level, where as a person, we've taken care of our stuff. One of the gifts that we can give to our kids and grandkids is that we have an estate plan, we have it clearly laid out, and we're not leaving it open to questions and debate. Have it very clearly done. Which, by the way, just a note, we have an estate planning booklet that we have that'll help you think this through. I don't think I've mentioned it in a long time, but it's available. I think it's on our website, isn't it? You can get to our website, go to theintentionallife.com, and check out resources, and you'll find it if you look around, where we have a resource that'll help you start thinking about estate planning. Very important topic. I want to talk today a little bit about how the desires of our heart get us into trouble. Because ultimately, what we find is even the Apostle Paul had the challenge. In Romans chapter 7, he said, "For I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out." I mean, even the Apostle Paul reminds us that of all the things that he knew in his relationship with Christ and all that he went through, he was saying that the biggest problem I have is me.
Boy, is that true. That's an excerpt from the teaching this month on the problem of me, the problem of self. And then how do we have the solution to the problem of self? Two-part series. And if members watch for it, it's our gift to you to say thank you. You probably already have it for this month. But thank you for your support for the Ministry of Intentional Living. It's your support that allows us to do this, to make sure that we have the satellite and staff and the time and all the things that we do to put this radio program on here and around the world. And I invite you to come and be a part of this journey for your life to be intentional as you're part of this community of believers who are attempting to live life intentionally in Christ. We want to walk with you. And every month you'll receive a brand new teaching from me to you to say thank you for your support. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com and click on the donate button. The information is there for you to sign up and become a part of the family today. I look forward to hearing from you. Okay, go to theintentionallife.com. Just a couple thoughts on sibling rivalry. It could be with kids. It could be with adults. But I'll tell you what, family is important. And the relationships in the family matter. And no matter how great a parent you are, you can't always determine the outcome with your kids. So if your adult children have grown up now and maybe they're not getting along, you might have a tendency to blame yourself. And that's not helpful either. The key is right now, if they're little ones or if they're adults, don't try to fix it. It's not your job to fix all the problems. But it is your job to have an environment where we can love each other, where we depower the relationship, we power down and parent up, as I say, and do so in a way that will build an environment that can be loving and supportive for each other, because I'll tell you what, life is very short. And if you've lost a sibling, you know what I mean, if they've gone on to eternity. All right, we're going to be here next time. We're going to be focusing on communication with your mate, how to have intentional communication in marriage. I hope you'll be here. Very important topic. Communication is a make it or break it in relationships, especially in marriage. So we'll see you then. If you'd like to join in the discussion, it's always open to you on our comment line, 888-888-1717. We'll see you next time.